Okay, I'm going to start over because I messed that up. I messed up the first time. This is full disclosure. Your boy Scarfinger ended up leaving all of his stuff on. I started recording this episode. Hi, I'm Scarfinger. And this is YBS3. You better sing. Scar Cancel Live Show about to sing off. I left all of my stuff on, apparently. I started recording, and you would have heard Xbox Live in the background, the Facebook notifications through my computer. I just left everything on not necessarily by accident. I just wasn't thinking about it. So this is me starting over. So welcome back. I'm Scarfinger. This is YBS number 3. We are talking about, I am talking to you, I'm talking to y'all about the sing-off season 1 episode 3. Getting just halfway through the season, it's only 4 episodes in the season, which is great because I can't wait till I get to season 2. Season 2 was when everything pops, you know what I mean? Well, actually, you know something, I'm going to say this. I think season 2, while I don't think season 2 is the best season, I think season 2 has some of the most memorable performances. And we'll get to that when we get to season 2, because it pretty much starts from the beginning. So let's go back to episode 3 of season 1. The episode is in 2 parts. The first part is Superstar Medleys, and then there's a cut, and then it's Judge's Choice, and then there's a cut. So we start this episode off with 5 groups, and then we're down to 3 for the finale. I think in all of these performances, well, all of these seasons, this is the halfway point, is when things really start to get good, when the groups really start to gel a lot. And you don't get a lot of like really bad performances. It just, you have really good performances and some that are just okay. And you know, if you're just okay, then you're probably going home. I'm going to talk about the first part, but first, we're gonna go ahead and play the intro song. Before I do that, yes, I probably should tell y'all that you can find this show on geeksconeraw.com. That is where you can find this show and other delightful shows. And you can send me a message. I'm Scarfinger on Twitter. I am, I'm on Facebook, but it's I kind of save Facebook for other stuff. And I'm on Google Plus. I am Scarfinger Hoodrich. You can find me there. You can send us an email, scarcasmlive@gmail.com or geeksconeraw@gmail.com. However you want to do that. I think those are the most important deeds. So of course you can find the show on the website. You can, you know, iTunes, Stitcher, coming soon, another avenue for us to reach more people. So, but this show may not stay on the feed because of the new avenue of reaching the show. So, with that said, the intro song is Mr. Blue Sky. So, I'm going to come back and I'm going to talk about the intro, and then I'm going to talk about the first half of the episode. It's YBS, Scarcasm Live, Geeks Gone Wrong Collective. Holla at your boy.
Sun is shining in the sky. There ain't a cloud inside.
It stopped raining. Everybody's in the play.
And don't you know, it's a beautiful new day.
Where once was pity, Mr. Blue Sky is living here today.
Hey. Mr. Blue Sky. Mr. Blue Sky,
please tell us why
you had to hide away for so long.
Yes, y'all, that was Mr. Blue Sky by the five remaining groups. I will say it was okay for me. I'm typically a fan of the intro songs. I think the intros, that this is the second time that they've done an intro song for the first season. And I'm going to say that it was okay, but seeing the other seasons and stuff like that, I think there were a lot stronger singers in the other seasons that made the intro songs better. Because a lot of times I don't necessarily know the song, but it's an enjoyable performance because of the caliber of the singers, and especially the leads, because you know, as much as the groups themselves really make or break these intro songs, it's mostly on the shoulders of the leads from the different groups to be able to carry these songs. And I think you know, when you look at this season, they're really isn't a lot of superstar leads. I mean, you got some good people like Matt from the Bubs, and Dan from the SoCals that stand out. But the only real superstar lead in any of these groups is David from Noda. He's the only real superstar lead that we have here. He's just so, you know, he's just above and beyond the rest of them, honestly. Like, I mean, let's just be 100% honest. As far as like being able to carry a team, it's really him. And I think the others really show up. And you know, not showing up, I think, is one of the factors of why Voices of Lee doesn't pop that much. Because they don't have a strong lead, because they switch off so many. They've switched off so much, which is, you know, it worked for them, but you know, you're not gonna almost every time, you know, the groups that really rise to the top have clearly defined leads. And the teams really ride the leads into the sunset. I guess you can call it into the sunset, or they ride the leads into the promised land, or however you want to say it, whichever kind of way you want to phrase it. But usually, you know, the teams have clearly defined leads, and you know, this season is no exception, with the exception of right now with the five. With the five that are here, the only group that doesn't have a clearly defined lead is the SoCals, because, you know, Noda has David, the Bubs have Matt, Max Factor has Leslie, you know, it's, you know, Voices of Lee, you know, who do they have, you know? The SoCal's Day and, you know, that type of thing. So, whatever. All right, so let's talk about the actual show. Superstar Medleys. Noda started off the show with Jackson 5 medley. Now, I think it's a pretty much a foregone conclusion that whoever's going to go first is really going to do well. And like whoever goes last, they either do really good or really bad. You know, I guess, you know, you really want to open up strong because, you know, I guess, you know, it's still a TV show. So, they did Jackson 5, started off with I Want You Back. I thought it was a solid foundation for their medley. It was not, it wasn't stellar, but it worked. I'll Be There. I think Luda just kind of came out and just kind of killed it. He didn't try to go overboard. He just sang it, and they just sang the song. And you know, it's a lot slower than the other songs, but I think he just, you know, they focused on the song, and that worked. ABC just had such a groove to it that it was really hard to deny the groove and just how entertaining it was. So the Jackson 5 medley from Noda, I'm just gonna say it was typical Noda. They didn't do anything other than what they've done, and what they've done has been really good. You know, just be good. That's pretty much Noda. We're just gonna go out here and be good. The Bubs did The Who. Now I will say, I've never been a huge fan of The Who. Like, I know some of the songs, mostly through Rock Band and stuff like that. And you know, through like covers and things of that nature. So like the first song that they did, Behind Blue Eyes, the first time I've ever really heard the song was Limp Bizkit. I used to be a Limp Bizkit fan. Fred Durst did Behind Blue Eyes. So you know, that's where I knew the song from. But I will say, Matt, that was absolutely fantastic. Like, it's a really somber song, and it's very, it's kind of emotional, and he just delivered. And you know, for a lot of the college groups, they're just kind of looked at as like the fun guys, like we go out and have fun, you know, that type of thing. But I like the way they were able to bring this down, and they started off with their slow song. Most people did this, you know, didn't do the slow song, you know, the slow song as a part, you know, they did it in the middle, to kind of, you know, take it up, drop it back down, that type of thing. I really enjoyed it. The Behind Blue Eyes, they did the Who Are You song. And like I said, that's a song I know from, what you call it, from CSI. Like that's, you know, but I thought the guy, I think his name was Eric. He really nailed the whole rock star, like sound, like the gravel. I mean, like the rock star vibe, like he nailed it. You just can't really say anything else. Like, Eric just nailed it. And then they went back to, I don't know the name of the song. I guess, I don't know if it's Teenage Wasteland or whatever like that. But I thought it was the perfect icing on the cake for what they did. The way that it was arranged and the execution of it was actually really good. And it was Matt again who closed this, but it was in a completely different manner than how he started. You know, just started all, you know, just starting off somber and then ended it off in a very rock star way. just was really awesome, and he showed a lot of range there. I would say that this medley, even though I'm not a fan of The Who, I say this medley was my favorite of this part of the show. Max Factor did The Beach Boys. And I'm again, you're probably gonna hear this a lot, especially during this section. But I've never been a really huge fan of the Beach Boys. Like, I know music of theirs. It's not like I dislike the Beach Boys. Like somebody that I'm going to talk about later. I don't really know their music like that. It's just not something that I grew up with personally. But I knew the songs, like, you know, they started off with the God Only Knows song. And it was just beautiful. Like, I love their harmonies and I love their sound. I'm a big Max Factor fan, and for them to be the old man group of this season, I just love their sound. They did that. That was beautiful. And they did the I don't know what the name of the song is. Wouldn't it be nice? Blah, 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 blah. But yeah, they did that. I thought that was cool. And then they went into good vibrations, and Good Vibrations was just, it started off slow because I didn't know the song and I didn't know where it was going. But once it took off, it really took off, and Max Factor just really drove that home. I thought that I don't know if there's a technical term for it. I just call it the long note double ending. It happens a couple of times, over the course of the seasons, but it just was so good. Like, you know, basically for those who don't know what I'm talking about, basically they do their closing harmony, and then Leslie holds a note, and then they close it again with her holding the note the whole time, and that was just fantastic. Ben said that it was something that, you know, none of the other groups could do. And that's the part that bothered me the most about the end of this. I mean, of course, you know, what we know from other seasons, the old man group usually makes it about halfway. And then it's time to go. Sometimes it's rightfully so, and sometimes it seems unfair. In this instance, I'm going to say that it seemed unfair. But I'll get to that at the end. I really like Max Factor. I really like Max Factor, and I like their sound. One of the things that during the Good Vibrations, when the chorus kicks in, one of the chicks does a na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na, and I was like, oh, that's just, you know, that almost killed it for me. But she only did it for a little bit, and I'm like, all right, cool. You know, it wasn't solo bad. So, but yeah, that was Max Factor doing the Beach Boys, which I thought it was fantastic. Personally, I thought it was fantastic. We go to the SoCals, I never really have enough notes for the SoCals, because the SoCals are really, it's just, everything they do, it's like musical theater, really. Like, it's honestly, everything they do is like musical theater. They did a Journey medley, Any Way You Want It. There was nothing special about it. It was, you know, just like almost all of their performances, is good to watch. Is solid sound, good to watch. Open Arms was just okay. It was just all right. There's not really anything I can say too much. Don't Stop Believing was the high point of this. I'm not a huge fan of Don't Stop Believing. I think the song is overrated, because people love Don't Stop Believing. And you know, even to like sports teams using it as their motto for, you know, like remember when the White Sox won the baseball shit and they used that as their song for like winning the fucking World Series, like Don't Stop Believing? It's about like two people meeting each other, like, you know, it's just like the chorus just means so much to everybody that they don't give a fuck about the rest of the song. So yeah, there's that. The guitar solo was cool. I wish it was longer. I wish it was closer to the length of the real guitar solo. He didn't necessarily have to do the whole part, but he only did the very first part of the solo. And I wish he would have did just a smidge more. I really dug that. Yeah, it was just a really strong performance, and Dan always shows incredible range. And, you know, Dan just seems like he can pretty much do anything. I would love to see Dan rap. Like, that's like the only, honestly, like, I wonder if Dan can rap, because that's pretty much the only thing he didn't do during the course of this conversation, you know? So that's pretty much it. The SoCals, they did Journey. It was a strong performance, but it wasn't, you know, it is musical theater. They're very much the fast food of this competition. Like they're the Chinese food. Like, you know, this is really good while you're eating it, and as soon as you're over, you're like, well, I don't think I'm hungry again, and I don't know why. So Voices of Lee, they did the Beatles. Now, I'm going to say this. I'm going to sound completely biased on this section because it is a well-known thing throughout the people who know me and have been listening to me for years. First of all, thank you very much for listening to me for that long. And two, people know that I am not a fan of the Beatles. Not at all. It's just not my cup of tea. I mean, I have a little bit more respect for it after playing the rock band Beatles game. But personally, I'm just not a fan of the Beatles. So everything that I'm getting ready to say is colored by the fact that I'm just not a Beatles fan. Which is to say, I thought this should have got Voices of Lee kicked off of the show. But I know Voices of Lee ends up being third place, but I thought this was what should have got them kicked off of the show. First of all, Paperback Writer is just a terrible fucking song. Like, it's like, why would you make this into a song? It's about as mundane of a song as there could possibly be. Like, it's about a guy who said he's trying to find a job writing books. Like, and that's what the song is about. I want to be a paperback writer. Like, it's not even an interesting topic. Like, you know what I mean? Like, alright, fine. Never mind. I thought their performance was okay, but as a whole, you know, the fact that their performance was just okay and the song is terrible, it was yawn worthy. Oh Darling, I was worried at the beginning of it, but it was Candace sang this song, you know, eventually she ends up in Delilah, but I thought this was probably the breakout performance from her, because like I said, Voices of Lee don't actually have a single voice or somebody that they can ride to a championship. But I thought she did very good at the song. I was worried at the start of the song because it didn't seem like she really. I didn't believe her, or I'll just say that I didn't believe her like I believe Matt. Like when Matt sings, when Matt from the Bubs, when he sings, I believe him. You know, he's saying behind Blue Eyes, I believe him. That Teenage Wasteland joint, I believe him. And I just didn't believe her. And, you know, the judges pointed out the fact that they didn't believe the guy singing Paperback Writer. But, you know, that was a terrible song in the beginning. All You Need Is Love, is really what kept them in this competition. They really nailed All You Need Is Love, and that is, you know, to me, that's why they're still in the competition. The songs just really didn't do anything for me. I mean, they just don't. Like, the Beatles songs, for the most part, the songs of the Beatles that I like, you know, covers by somebody else. I don't really like the Beatles versions of those songs. But yeah, personally, if I would have been on this part, if I would have been watching this at the time, I would have been like, oh yeah, Voices of Lee, going home. But that's my Beatles bias. I was wrong. Max Factor, which surprised the shit out of me. All right. Well, first of all, it sounds like, I don't know why, but I feel like I'm cussing a lot right now. So let me stop that. But it really surprised me because I thought they were so good. And I'm not a fan of the Beach Boys, and I love their medley. They made me like the music, unlike Voices of Lee, where I still, you know, I don't. When it's on my iPod and it starts, I skip it. You know, like, you know, when Paperback Writer starts, I'm like, all right, I'm out, and I skip it. But the Beach Boys medley, it's just so good. It was just so good. And I think that Max Factor was too good in order to go home. And to be honest, I thought the SoCals could have went home too, because, like I said, it's just musical theater, and I keep saying the same thing. You know, it's about a record contract, and y'all gonna have to put something on wax that I want to hear. And not a lot of their songs I really care about hearing. They're wonderful to watch. Their performances in total are fantastic, but do I want to just listen to this on wax? And always my answer is no. So Max Factor, is out. They sang, Leaving on a Jet Plane. And, I really did not think that they deserved to go home. This is usually the case. In a couple of cases, with the old man group, well, actually, in almost every instance, with the exception of one, when the old man group goes home, it's like, oh, they're going home now. Well, actually, no, I'll say two out of the four, when the old man group goes home, it's like, oh, come on. They really should have lasted longer than this. I think Max Factor and, of course, North Shore from season 3. But it's North Shore's fault. I wouldn't say North Shore, I would say Street Corner Renaissance. Street Corner Renaissance from season 4 were really good as the old man group. And, you know, they just got a bad luck of the draw by being grouped up with a really good they separated them in half, 4 and 4, for a show. And in that show, nobody did bad. It's just they just weren't the best. And then they had to battle for it, and they were just completely outmatched by the Philharmonic in the battle. But I didn't think that they deserved to go home. Of course, we all know that Element really needed to go, but they were in the other group. So that happened. So they sang Leaving on a Jet Plane, and, you know, it's Max Factor. Unlike all of the old man groups, I mean, the old man groups, like, you get the sense of, like, the professionalism. But with the majority of these groups, you don't really get the sense of absolute class as these ladies have. Like, they're classy, they're very classy. I'm trying not to cuss. They're very classy, and it's almost majestic. So with that said, Max Factor is gone. And that really sucked for me. But, you know, the other, one of the other groups that I thought was going home will be going home tonight. So, you know, on the same episode. So I'm okay with them going home, but I thought they should have lasted one more song, because we know who the top three are. It's been pretty much decided since the second episode who is going to really survive this, and we already know that Noda and the Bubs are clearly one and two. It was really at this point of the conversation it was a battle for third place, and you know everyone seemed to really like Voices of Lee, so. Huh. All right, so I'm going to go ahead and take a break, and I'll be back with the second half, which is Judge's Choice. Follow.
I may not always love you, as long as there are stars above you. You never need to doubt it. I'll make you so sure about it. God only knows what I'd be without you. Wouldn't it be nice if we were older and we would have to wait so long? And wouldn't it be nice to live together in the kind of world where we belong? Say goodnight and stay together. Wouldn't it be nice if we could wake up in the morning when the day is new? But as Randy spent the day together, on a kind of close the whole night through, wouldn't it be nice?
Cut down to the underground. Put some blowback, my
YBS 3 part 2. Yeah, talking about the sing-off, episode 3, second half. This half was about the judges' choice round, where the groups that are left, there are four, had a song, easy for me to say, had a song picked by the judges, that they were supposed to perform, blah, 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 whatever. So, we're going to start this off with Noda. They got Sledgehammer. Okay. This isn't my favorite Noda performance. I thought it was first of all, they didn't know the song at all, which, you know, really kind of showed in their performance. And it was the reason why it's not really their best performance. It was the creative intro with the construction sounds. I thought that was really dope. The song itself was pretty solid. How they normally do, where they end the songs in a, you know, they kind of take you to Puerto Rico or take you, you know, they add their little Latin flavor at the end of these songs. Normally it seems like they nail a song and then they go into these, things as kind of like an icing on the cake. I think in this song, it seemed a little bit different, more or less. They didn't really have very many other places to go with this song. One, because they didn't know it. And two, because the song doesn't really go anywhere sonically. Like, it's just kind of a cool song, but sonically it doesn't really go anywhere. So they didn't have anywhere to take it. So it just didn't work. Their arrangement. I thought they did okay with the song. It wasn't their best, of course. I thought that anybody has heard Sledgehammer, especially recently, you realize that it's kind of a funky song. It's funky, and I was missing the funk in Noda's performance, especially in the bass section. I mean, they had their own interpretation of it, which it sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. This time it just didn't work well. And I like what Ben said, where he said that this song was like testing the A student. Like they really wanted, you know, Noda has done so well with all of this other stuff that they wanted to give them a challenge. And I think they met the challenge. They didn't exceed the challenge. All in all, it was good. It just wasn't great. The Bubs, performed, Sweet Caroline. Which, of course, this song is like really kind of pervy. For anyone who doesn't know, the song was written about an 11-year-old girl. It was written about a Kennedy, but the song was written about an 11-year-old girl. So when you pay attention to the words of the song, it seems really, really freaking pervy. I'm trying not to cuss right now. It just seems really pervy. I never heard the song before until a few years ago. My father-in-law sang it, and he sang it with like a lot of passion, and I just didn't understand, like, you know, what this song means to people. And apparently it means a lot to Red Sox fans, because I guess the Red Sox actually play this at all of their home games during like the eighth inning or some shit like that. I was gonna try not to cuss and I just did. But the apparently the Red Sox play this song at every one of their home games. So it means something to them. You know, my father-in-law is a Red Sox fan. So brief history about the song or whatever like that. As far as what the Bubs did, the word that you can say for this song is it was just really charming. The lead was Ben. It wasn't Matt this time. It was Ben, and Ben was the perfect choice. That was mentioned in what the judges were saying, but he was just such a perfect choice to sing this song. It was really charming, and I liked how in a group as large as the Bubs, they really backed him up, and they didn't overpower him, and they just let him do his thing, and he really brought it. It just worked. They were very supportive, and it worked. The SoCals did Hazy Shade of Winter. Okay, I did not know this song at all. I had never heard this song before in my life, and I have never heard it since. The three part harmony of the ladies singing lead just didn't work at all for me. It just didn't sound good. There were parts where the harmonies locked, but most of it, the harmonies just didn't sound very good. The second half of the song just went completely away from what I would say the SoCal strengths are. And the SoCals really bring that musical theater thing to, they really brought that to this show. And they just decided to just try to power through the song, and they all just kind of stood there, and they let the ladies, I mean, I don't know who really sings this song, so I couldn't tell you, but you know, the fact that Dan didn't really sing was a problem, because this was, you know, this is the first one that Dan didn't sing very much at all, and this was their worst performance to me. It just was not good, and it completely moved away from their strengths, and for them not to add the musical theater element really to it really took away from it, because like I said, some of their other songs, I don't necessarily like the song, but I like watching them perform it, and I wasn't able to watch them perform this because they didn't really do much. And they just tried to vocally power through the song, and it just didn't work. I really wish, they took a chance, with the arrangement, and they took a chance trying to do something different, and it did not work at all. It just didn't work, period. Voices of Lee did Man in the Mirror. It was a perfect choice for them. I thought their dynamics were great. How they started off really low, and you know, when they did the first chorus, it was kind of low, and then when the power of the song hit, I'm with Sean. I expected that wall of sound. It doesn't have to be perfectly like the original song, but I expected that chorus sound to really hit me, and it just didn't. And just like Sean said, that the first time when you say, you know, if you want to make the world a better place, whatever, you know, you can play that down the first time, because you know you want to set yourself up for the second time. But for them to come out and say that again for the second time and it be just as soft as the first time, it that really harmed them. In my opinion, they were saved by Ben, because Ben said that he didn't know the original song very much, so he wasn't a slave to it. But the other judges who knew the song were like, nah, this didn't work for me. And, you know, as someone who knows the song, I'm going to say, nah, it didn't work for me. Watching season one the first time, I was just like, well, why did everybody pretend like they've never heard this before? It's right here. So that was a little bit odd. Well, you know something? That happens a few times, just like the country song with the reggae beat. That happens a couple of times, and every single time that happens, the judges act like they've never heard that before. But I don't know whether it's because of the time in between the shows. Who knows? But yeah. I think they did all right. It was a good performance. They played it safe, and it saved them because the SoCals didn't play to their strengths and they lost. So the SoCals did get voted out. And while I think it was deserving, I think that Voices of Lee barely survived this. I really think they barely survived this. If Ben actually knew the song "Man in the Mirror," Voices of Lee would have got kicked off of the show, because, you know, like I said, Ben 100% saved them from being eliminated, because, you know, the other two judges were not feeling what they did at all. So the SoCals, they were voted off, and they did "Here I Go Again," and of course Dan sings the lead and it sounds great again. Duh, why did you go away from this dude? Obviously he's a star. And you know, I thought the SoCals could have gone home earlier. Like I've said it so many times before, the musical theater thing is really good, but, you know, do I really want to listen to this that much? And the answer is no. So they could have gone home a lot earlier, but I think really Dan powered them through to this point, and for them to go away from him for Hazy Shade of Winter was a mistake. They could have been third place if they would have just stuck to their strengths, and they did not. And that's why they're going home. That's why they're going home. And on their way out the door, they go back to their strengths, and it works. Yeah, just a misstep. So, yeah. So, that was the groups, and we're down. So now we're down to the top three: Noda, the Bubs, and Voices of Lee. And we all know how that worked out, and it worked out in the order that I just said it. We all know how it worked out, and, you know, America voted on the end, which I found it very odd that, America voted on the winner for all of the seasons except for the current season. The judges voted on the winner, and I thought that was odd, that all of a sudden for the current season that changed. There's a bunch of stuff happening on the next show, the finale of the sing off. The America voted. We already know who won, and we know which order. So we're just going strictly by the performances. So with that said, I'm gonna play a couple of clips, and I'm gonna come back and close the show.
Sledge, can't hear ya. Where it began, I can't begin to know when, but then I know it's growing strong. And wasn't the spring, the spring became the summer. Who'd have believed you'd come along? Hands, touching hands, reaching out, touching me, touching you, sweet Caroline. Good times never seem so good.
And that, my friends, is the show. I'd like to thank everybody who's listening. I really, as you can probably hear in my voice, I really enjoy doing these shows because I really enjoy the sing-off. And I can't wait. I really can't wait to get through the next episode so I can start season two, because season two is awesome. Podcast. There's a new podcast that I picked up. I know I think I talked about them last show, but I've been listening to their shows and I really enjoy listening to them. And the funny thing about it is, you know, I believe that one of the guys really talks, well, they don't sound the same, but he really talks like Tyrone. I think they're both from PG County in Maryland, in like DC. That type of area. So he really kind of sounds like Tyrone. They talk alike. And I really enjoy the show. I really enjoy the topics of the show. And you know, shout out to the homies at Geeks with Color. And I saw Jay Bird post that he wanted to get on the show, and I got to figure out how to get him back on the show, because it's been a while since we talked to Jay Bird. And I'll probably want to tease him because he's probably still a virgin. I'll let your boy. You know, I'll be back real soon with the finale of season one. This is You Better Sing, episode 3. Holla at your boy. Peace.
All my bags are packed. I'm ready to go. I'm standing here outside your door. I hate to wake you up to say goodbye. So kiss me and smile for me. Tell me that you'll
Hey, you. Yeah, you. If you're still listening right now, well, first of all, you're awesome because you're still listening. Second of all, it was something that I forgot to say. With the medley, the Beach Boys medley from X Factor, they started off their medley with God Only Knows in their barbershop style. And, you know, this was like years ago. So last year, for everyone who's not a gamer, a video game came out called Bioshock Infinite. And in Bioshock Infinite, there's music reinterpreted for that time. It's an alternate past, I guess you would call it. And one of the songs that they have that's reinterpreted for their time is a barbershop quartet, but a barbershop quartet of guys singing God Only Knows. So you know what? I'm going to stick that at the end of the show. So if you've listened this far, first of all, thank you for listening this far, because you're fantastic. Thank you. And I'm going to hit you with the treat of God Only Knows, the Bioshock Infinite version, barbershop quartet with dudes. Yo, holla at your boy. I'll be back with the next show real soon. Pieces.
If you should ever leave me, though life would still go on, believe me, the world could show nothing to me. So what good would living do me? God only knows what I'd be without you. God only knows what I'd be without you. Oh, I may not always love you, but long as there are stars above you, never need to doubt it. I'll make you so sure about it. God only knows what I'd be without.